Welcome to The Yarn, a School Library Journal production. I'm Colby Sharp. Jared Lerner's A Work in Progress is a can't-miss 2023 novel in verse. Today's episode is part of our Unraveler series. In each Unraveler episode, a book creator takes us inside one of their books, their inspirations, fears, frustrations, triumphs, epiphanies, the whole thing pulled apart, unraveled. I had an amazing time talking to Jared about this book for The Yarn. In this episode, Jared talks about why A Work of Progress ended up becoming an illustrated novel in verse, how he's able to get so much done with three small kids at home, and what it was like writing a fictionalized version of his own childhood. It's time to unravel A Work in Progress. Tell us a little bit about A Work in Progress.
A Work in Progress is an illustrated novel in verse. It's framed as the protagonist Will Chambers' personal private notebook. And it's about Will's experience getting bullied and body shamed and developing a massive insecurity about himself and his appearance. And from there, sort of developing disordered eating and ultimately an eating disorder before sort of hitting rock bottom and finding a way back to a healthier place, a place of self-acceptance.
Why did you create this book as an illustrated novel in verse?
Yeah, so it wasn't an obvious choice. It took me a long time to reach the proper format for this book. It's a book that I've been trying to write for a long, long time. It's my personal story, fictionalized in certain ways to make it more accessible and powerful. And I tried just about every perspective, every point of view, everything I could think to try to get the story out of me in a way that felt authentic and complete and responsible. And I could never do it. First person, third person, multiple perspectives, present tense, past tense, whatever. And finally, I had this sort of epiphany a few years ago trying to tell this story again. And I realized that this story needed to be more raw, more intimate, more personal. And that the way to do this was to have Will sort of incidentally tell the story, just by giving readers a peek into his notebook. And I came upon the form by modeling it after my own notebooks that I kept when I was Will's age in middle school. So before I'd even heard of Freeverse and knew what it was how I got my ideas and thoughts and feelings out of my head. My personal private notebook was the place where I could abandon sentence structure and proper sentences, where I could switch back and forth between words and images, doodles and drawings and scribbles. And once I landed on the idea of making it look like the notebooks I kept when I was Will's age, going through what Will went through, it all just sort of clicked. And I said, this is how I can get this story out in a authentic, proper way.
Are there other, do you have any mentor texts? Are there other illustrated novels in verse that exist that you can think of?
No. So there's one that I know. Rebecca Lowell has a book called The Road to After. It came out a few months before mine. And we were actually friends and we were working on it at the same time. Hers has fewer illustrations. They don't appear on every page like they often do in this book. Beyond that, though, I didn't see any. I couldn't find any. A book that I read a few times during the writing of this was Long Way Down, Jason Reynolds. And that is not illustrated, but it's stylized. The pages are stylized and there's some color choices and some graphic elements in it. And that also played a role in sort of encouraging me to be more free with the placement of the words on the page and also the incorporation of illustrations. But yeah, I had never seen a book like it before I started creating it.
And if as a teacher, it feels very much like what you would see in a kid's desk or in a kid, like, you know, they're always doodling and, you know, adding little pictures to their writing, whether it's a math worksheet or their reader's notebook or something else. So that's really fun to see. I feel like you just try everything. Like, you made so many different, I mean, you haven't been like publishing books for how long ago was it when your first book came out?
I think it was about 6 years now.
Yeah. And you've written like for all these different ages, all these different types of books. Now, why do you think that is how you create books? Like, you're.
Yeah. I think I'm a fan. I'm such a fan of books and of Kidlit in particular. I read constantly and I just get inspired and fired up when I read a really great book, no matter the form. I've got kids now, which my first child was born right like 2 weeks after my first book came out, and experiencing books with my kids and sharing books with my kids has also maybe made me more interested in certain forms. But I think it's just the way my creativity and curiosity manifest themselves. I want to get my hands dirty and try it out. And some of my experiments and attempts to try things don't always work. You know, I've yet to, I've got a lot of books in a lot of different ranges, but I've yet to sell a picture book, though I've written picture books. So so that's something that I haven't landed yet. Though
slacker.
I'm trying. Yeah, I know. And I just got to give a shout out to my agent and my editors. I've got two main editors I work with, because none of them, my agent, my editors, ever bat an eye when I throw something at them unexpected. They actually encourage it and get excited when they open an email. My agent says, I never know what you're going to send me next. And I love it. And I don't think that's every agent out there. So I'm really grateful and lucky that I have those people in my professional life.
So you create all these different books, you make like t-shirts that you sell and give like all this money to literacy organizations. You have all these activity pages, you're going to author visits. Like, are you a person who has like a structure to your day? I don't understand how you can do all of these different things. Is it like, what is your work structure look like?
Yeah, well, it's hard to say. Having three kids, five, 2 and 9 or 10 months now, those are their ages, makes it so that my schedule really revolves around them. And there's all, you know, a lot of curveballs when you've got young kids, especially that you. So I think I've developed skills around being able to create whenever I've got the time and wherever I am. So I think I used to be much more routinized, saying I need to do it now, I need to do it here, I need to do it with this things. And I've gotten a lot better at being able to create whenever I've got the time. If it's 5 minutes, 5 hours, if it's in a hotel, if it's at my desk. And the other thing for me, bouncing back and forth between projects that are very different, I think helps me progress through each individual project much more productively and efficiently. Being able to compare a middle grade illustrated novel and verse against an early reader, against a chapter book, it really helps delineate exactly what each needs to be. And so for me, I thrive off of having a lot of projects going on at once. And there are times when sort of like, if you think of it as like a train car with each little box being a different project, sometimes they all sort of run into each other and it gets messy. But if you can schedule it all out with my publisher, which I think it's more productive for me to have all these balls in the air.
Do deadlines help you?
Yeah, they do. I like deadlines, and my main editor, actually, who I've got the majority of my books with that are out and upcoming, she actually doesn't give me hard deadlines. She gives me a general rough estimate of when she's hoping to have something. And I just sort of usually hit it. There's been a couple times where she says, here's a date we need this by. But usually I'm on top of it enough that we've got a good back and forth. But having a sense, and she sort of gives me priorities. Like she'll say, let's deal with copy edits for this book. And then let's do an art pass on that book. So she'll sort of let me know what the lineup is and what's of primary importance.
So going back to a work in progress, what was it like writing like a fictionalized version of something from your own life? And that's a lot different than Engine Nerds and things like that. Like, what was that? Was it hard? Was it fun? Was it easy? Like,
it was hard and difficult. I would say it was not very fun. It was hard and difficult. It was unlike any other writing experience I've had. And I think I initially didn't properly appreciate how difficult it would be. And I think I had to learn like halfway through the process to give myself some grace and give myself a break and take it easy on myself, because I was really pushing. And it turned out that that wasn't the right way to approach this book. I had to approach this book very differently. But it was tough, incredibly tough. Because each writing session, each drawing session, I was sitting back in these memories. So I was using my imagination, but also in these most troubling times for me, and really sitting in them and trying to figure out how to capture them and express them. When I finally got the note from my art director, I was tweaking drawings up until the last second. She finally said, this is printing. Stop sending me edits. We're done. My mother-in-law actually asked me, she said, was that cathartic? It must have been cathartic. And the process of creating the book was not cathartic at all. It was very hellish. But as soon as I started hearing from adults, once ARCs went out, and especially now that the book is out, from kids, having kids come up and thank me or share with me or just talk to me, send me notes, that has been cathartic. And that has been where the joy of the creative process has really come back in to this project.
Has anyone read the book that knew you during the times where you had these difficulties?
Yeah, a lot, tons. And a lot have, I share during my school visits about how I never really opened up about this stuff until I was an adult, and how if I could go back, the last thing I tell kids at school visits was that if I could go back and change anything about my life, it would be that I would have opened up about this stuff when I was a kid and not let it sort of dictate and detract from my life for decades longer than it needed to. A lot of people have read it, and a lot of them, some of them say, you know, they knew something was going on, or some of them are surprised, but I really did a phenomenal job of hiding it. And sort of making excuses for stuff. I think I really put a lot of my creative energy into keeping this hidden, for all the reasons why someone might keep something like this hidden, for fear of it getting in trouble, or for fear of being made to stop and feeling like you can't stop for whatever reason. But having people in my life read it has been really, I think that's been cathartic in a way that creating the book hasn't. And just finally being open and vulnerable. The day the book came out, I had a launch party at my local bookstore where I launch all my books. And Linda Mullally Hunt was there, the great Linda Mullally Hunt. And I was starting school visits for the book the next morning. And I was terrified. And I asked her for advice, because I've seen her talk in front of kids and adults, and she is a force. And she said, just don't hide anything. Be as vulnerable as you can possibly be, share everything. And as soon as kids and adults see that, They are going to respect you and care for you in a profound way. And she is right. I get up there, and from the first second I have that microphone and those kids looking at me, I just, you know, I'm just totally open and vulnerable. And I've been so amazed and impressed and delighted at the way that kids, every single kid, and I've now shared this book with thousands, are tuned in and ready and willing and even eager to have these conversations and to share about their own feelings and thoughts and experiences surrounding it.
It's so interesting as like a teacher, like when you learn something that's going on in the lives of the kids that we serve, and you're just so like, I don't know, like you feel guilty that you didn't know these things were going on. So I appreciate that you're helping kids to see the part about sharing and being willing, willing to be more open about these things or whatever it is that, that they're dealing with, that they feel that they need to keep to themselves. It's so interesting that they're so good at like being able to hide these things that are so,
yeah,
so hard and sad. And hearing how you were able to do that and throw yourself into the creativity. It's just, I don't know, Jared, it's just so like, we just see so many things that we wish that we could help with and we don't know. And then like when you do find out, like you do start to like replay all of your time with these kids and the signs that we missed. It's, I don't know.
Whew, it's tough. It's tough. It's tough. But, you know, I think just being, I've really learned, I don't think I could have made this book. I wasn't able to until I was a parent, I don't think. And until I discovered how important it is for adults, as parents, as teachers, just as anyone, as role models, to really be open and vulnerable and to show that we sometimes need help and that we show that we can ask others for help. So, I mean, I hope you and all those other amazing teachers who are out there just know that by being your true selves and being a role model for these kids, you know, even if they're not opening up, hopefully they understand that, you know, they can, that you're someone who they can come to. And hopefully something inspires them to open up, whether it's to you or to their teacher next year or to someone else in their life. But I think kids need as many examples of vulnerable adults in their life to not put on this show that we've got everything in control and to be able to share that we have good days and bad days and tough days and that, you know, we can talk about it.
Final question. What is your hope for a work in progress?
I hope, you know, I wrote the book with one hope, I think it was to let any kid going through this stuff know that they're not alone dealing with it and feeling it. I was certain as a kid that I was alone dealing with this, especially as a boy. Even when I learned that other people had this, I only learned about girls having it. 1 in 10 kids will get a full-fledged eating disorder. As many as half will develop disordered eating behaviors. 3 out of 4 teenagers are insecure about their body in some manner or another, whether it's the size and shape or a certain body part or their height or lack of it. And so I hope all those kids know they're not alone. But in sharing the book, I've had sort of an additional hope sort of crop up when I've seen people react to it. And that's that I hope that everyone is just who reads this book, looks at everyone else in their life, themselves included, with a little more empathy and grace, and is just gentler with each other. You know, we never know when an offhanded comment, maybe even meant as a joke, is going to really be the thing, like it is for Will. He calls it an atom bomb going off in his life. You know, a stray comment from another kid in a hallway really has repercussions for years and years. And I've had adults come up to me after reading this book, people in their 50s, 60s, 70s, even a librarian in her 80s, and said, when I was a kid, I had a moment just like this, someone said this to me, and I think about it on a daily, even on a weekly, even daily basis. So if everyone can be a little bit gentler with each other and themselves, I think I'd love for them to come out of the other end of this book like that.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Yarn. Thank you to Jared Lerner for taking the time to chat with me about his beautiful book. Philip Stead created our awesome theme song. Additional music for this episode comes from the Free Music Archive. Thank you to Heinemann Publishing for sponsoring this episode. Thank you to my friend, co-host, Travis Yonker, for helping me produce this episode. Friends, Travis has a new book coming out. It looks so good. It comes out in October. It's called Just One Flake. You can pre-order it now if you're interested. It would help Travis and I out a lot if you subscribe to the show and left a review on your podcast app of choice. My name is Colby Sharp. Thank you for listening.